Hi, this is Jim Sheehy, and this is a podcast on healthy boundaries and personal space. So let me start with a poem I once wrote. It's called Friendship. Simplicity insists on radical truth, a soil manured and flecked in joyous interaction, minds grapple, tease, shudder and rebuild, hearts simmer, bloom, coexist and lie in sensitivity exposure, globally connecting with friends, Inc. Is this the way across divides of colour, creed and cultural bias, through fogs of F-off zones and cracked boundary settings? Cafe chat and mobile link, the half doors of hosting mind and psyche. Friendship is open all hours, all rooms, all space and clutter. Enjoy. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how boundaries and space really create this reality called friendship. And friendship is a rich term that for me includes all I need to experience when I relate with another person, animal or aspect of nature. It's kind of a lens that can provide a dependable way and flexible view as to whether any relationship we have is healthy or not. Why? Well, friendship ticks all the boxes when meeting our own needs and simultaneously satisfying another. Because we freely choose to enter and remain in friendship, the connection is natural. The attuning of our voices and eyes effortless. Trust is implied. This happens in magical, fluid ways. My friend affirms, celebrates, and protects my personal space. He or she is interested in my continuously fertilizing the inner soil where the crops of imagination and challenge are seeded, nurtured, and harvested. And why does my friend do this? Because the oxygen vivifying the relationship is each other's personal world. Unless we each reach out across and check out how the friend is in their feeling and thinking world, there is simply no friendship. It comes before we overlap and share the crack, the dreams, the eccentricities of the relationship. When a friendship seems stale, before asking what's the issue with us, try to breathe and reflect on where am I right now in my alone place. If that happens to be vibrant for me, then perhaps breathe again and gently ask your friend, how are you, really? So we each check out how the personal space is and be aware and responsive as to whether I need my friend to be here for me or she or he for me. Put it in a nutshell, good relations flourish with fluid, strong boundaries. No long-term dependency or codependency. But boundaries will only ever be sound if both persons keep an eye on their own and each other's personal space. Take a parent-teenager relationship. Sure, as a friendship, it's hierarchical and it's far more different than what holds them together in common. Boundaries are extremely important if the relationship is to develop. So they check out each other's personal space. Is dad as a man or mom as a woman in a good place as to their capacity to process the volume of stuff life throws at them? If they are, then shaping the boundaries their teenage son or daughter are exploring has a better chance of success. The teenager learning this stuff monitors the advances mom and dad make and tests the boundaries, asking, can they contain all that's freaking me out on the inside? And help me learn the art of being proud of who I am in all my uniqueness and orderliness? Or can my parents model for me sensitive but courageous boundaries and then I can practice these skills with my peers? Let's look a little deeper at the two components always needing attention so our personal space thrives. First is identity. Do I, as a man or woman or girl or boy, know, accept and celebrate the mix of gifts, skills and strengths I have? Now in the blog I have whole list of gifts, skills and strengths, and you can choose off that list, okay? So if looking at these to help you choose which you possess, some gifts are genetic, in other words, what you inherited in your looks, personality and abilities from both sides of your extended family. Skills are about you striking out on your own and passionately developing what lifestyle enlivens your day, for example, playing an instrument or designing software. And then strengths are the character-shaping qualities you learned as life experience kicks you in the ass through failure and rejection. For example, qualities like courage, kindness, persistence. So I'd like you to write down the gifts, skills and strengths you accept as definitely yours to own and celebrate. Then perhaps a few qualities of people who you know well, who know you well, sorry, and whose opinion you respect, say you possess, maybe underline those. And finally, jot down a few you believe are there, but dormant and need to be awakened for the next part of life's journey. And maybe put a question mark over those. Self-acceptance is the hardest challenge we'll ever encounter because we can envy gifts and qualities others have. I can be very funny, but I have average intelligence and plain looking. So accepting and celebrating the mix of person I am is essential if my personal space is to be healthy and the boundaries I create are fair and reliable. After all, if I dump on myself all the time, chances are my body sends out signals and makes it harder for others to like me. The second component to personal space is a support network. So in the blog, I have three circles. Closest is the inner circle, then a closer, which are people who are less close, and then close, which it's about those resource people that we all need. So let's look at the inner or closest circle for a moment. And these are people or pets indeed with whom you have a 50-50 relationship with. You receive as much as you give and they are consistently present and trustworthy. In a teenager's inner circle, they may have a granny but not their parents inside their inner circle. It can be surprising and even sometimes painful when you honestly populate your inner circle. There may be nobody. Some people might not have many people, but they might name activities that they are passionate about. For example, music or acting, nature, or etc. Then the second circle, or closer circle as I call it. This circle includes people and activities that are important because they usually provide variety and stimulation in our lives. So a woman might include colleagues who are supportive in a work setting, and a drama society that engages her on winter evenings. And then the third or close circle includes resource people and activities which are important in the present moment. For example, the consultant when very ill, the teacher who best engages with my severely autistic son, etc. Support networks, like aspects of identity awareness, are always changing. There are times when I am so happy to be just me, and the people and interests in my life make me smile. And the other periods then, when I can't stand being me and life has abandoned me. This is life for us all, no matter how we try to disguise it. And being relatively aware and comfortable in both zones is okay. Days we are vulnerable, days we are strong. So when our friend comes along and the atmosphere is light, we welcome the occasion. But then the true friend, when the atmosphere is languid and tortuous, has the wisdom to come away from the we of shared space and fragile boundaries and sit on a rock, look out on the sea, and wait for two separate crafts to come into view. The craft called me and the craft called you. One or both might resemble a yacht and the other a rowing boat with one oar. Doesn't matter a damn. None is better or more worthwhile than the other. So the two friends then, spending the hour sipping coffee, choking back tears and rippling with laughter, is the us of friendship, the sea which upholds and welcomes both craft without bias, non-judging and non-shaming. Thank you.